That was music by Mozart from his Serenata Notturna, or Evening Serenade, performed by the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra, led by Ton Koopman, here on WILL FM and HD Urbana. This program is called Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we have a whole bunch of guests with us today on the show, and it is indeed Live and Local right in our Studio F, our lovely, not very large, but large enough performance studio for a bunch of quartets from the Illinois Summer Youth Music Camps. This is the first of three camps given every summer, and I believe this week it's all senior high school. And we have first on the docket will be our flute quartet, and then we have French horns, and a quartet of strings, and a quartet of bassoons, and we will introduce all of those as we go. We also have with us couple of representatives, organizers of the ISYM program, who are Joyce Griggs and David Allen. They were with us a few weeks ago talking about the camps in advance, and now they are happening. And Joyce is first with us here on Live and Local. Thanks for coming in again.
Thanks for having us.
And later we'll be talking with Kosmakala, who is a faculty member working with the horns in particular, for a very good reason, on account that he is retiring horn faculty at the University of Illinois, but more about that later. So, Joyce, give us a bit of a rundown of what's happening this particular week. This is the big opening week of the camps.
Sure. Well, we started on Sunday, and we welcomed about 300 high school students for musical theater, senior bands, orchestra, chorus, and even organ camp this week.
Is that new?
Yes, this is the first year.
That's terrific. And how many showed up for the organ camp?
We have three.
And Dana Robinson, I assume,
is
faculty person?
He's the program coordinator, and we also have advanced piano this week as well.
Excellent. And that's quite a variety. And is most of the time of the students spent in rehearsal for bands and orchestras, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. We try to give them some variety, so the students that you'll hear today have had the opportunity to play in these small chamber ensembles. They also have 3 hours of large ensemble rehearsal, sectionals. Some of them have participated in private lessons with the faculty this week, master classes, and some special topics where they might have discussed orchestral repertoire, equipment, and other advanced topics.
Really, on equipment. Well, let me introduce the players here, and I want to ask something about that, because this group is interesting because you've got with you four different kinds of flutes, and from very small to very fat and curved for a flute, you know. So our flutists are Sarah Collins, which is Sarah. Obviously, we're not on television, so nobody's seeing that but me, but that helps me to know who's who. Ted Anton. Ted's obvious because he's the one male in the group. Sarah Gunyan and Violet Zerbe. So from small to large, Ted, you have the piccolo on your lap. And come a little closer to that black microphone there. Mm-hmm. People will hear you a little bit better. Are you a fan of playing the piccolo?
I actually love playing piccolo. I'm playing piccolo in orchestra here. It's very hard because the tuning on this instrument is extremely difficult, and so it takes quite some time to learn to master that.
Which is also a very good reason. If you're in orchestra, you never want to have two piccolos.
No.
It's a sound that is not pretty.
No.
But one.
Well, you can make it pretty.
You can make it pretty, but not usually at the high school level. If you're at that level where you can make two piccolos in tune with high school players, you're very good indeed. But you can make one piccolo with other flutes, which is great. Mm-hmm. So we have. Let's see. Sarah, you're on the, what do you call the regular flute?
I don't know, just the flute, I guess. Soprano flute.
Has anybody ever heard a term? I haven't, come to think of it. It's just the flute.
Yeah, C flute, that's a very common one, and then also the transverse flute.
You're all playing transverse.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too.
That means a sideways. Oh, this is an assignment that you now have, is to go back to Professor Keeble, who's working with you, is that
mm-hmm,
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Keeble, flute faculty at the University of Illinois, and which I'm sure is a privilege for you all. So ask him what it's called, and then somebody tell me, because now I want to know, and I don't want to rely on Wikipedia, because Wikipedia lies. Then we have the alto flute, which is played by Sarah Collins. Is this your first time playing alto flute?
Yes, I began playing the alto flute this Monday, actually, and I am falling in love with it. It is a beautiful, mellow instrument.
Do you mind playing something for us?
Oh, sure.
Anything that you can dream up. Yeah, so it's a richer, deeper sound, and we'll get richer and even deeper than that. I've always loved hearing the alto flute as well. So have you found it a challenge to learn it quickly?
Yes, there are a few things that make it different from the regular concert flute, but I've been practicing in my dorm at night, and I'm getting better each and every day.
And how many roommates have you got?
I have one roommate.
And how does she deal with that? Or is she practicing something to annoy you also?
She's also practicing the cello, actually.
Oh, that's not an annoying instrument.
No, I love the cello.
Well, that actually works, because you're playing this rich-sounding flute, and she's got the rich-sounding cello, so that's good. Now we have the bass flute, which I don't recall if I've laid eyes on before, and that's being played by Violet Zerbe. And same question for you. Have you played the bass flute before?
No, I also started this Monday, but I've heard of it. I've seen pictures on Google Images. And this week, a personal dream of mine was fulfilled, and I got to play this extremely unique and expensive instrument. So it's been a privilege to borrow it from the University of Illinois.
So you actually have wanted to play one of these things?
Yes.
Well, do you mind doing a little demonstration on something? So is it usually fairly soft, or were you just playing it particularly softly?
Generally, it's such a big instrument that it's extremely more challenging to push the air through it, but for that particular little ditty, it was softer. You'll hear me play a little bit louder.
I almost thought you were going to play My Funny Valentine.
It was a mild inspiration.
So I'm incredibly perceptive. How about that? So those were members of the flute ensemble from one of the flute ensembles. Yes, there's more than one at the camp here. Or is this the flute ensemble?
This is the flute ensemble.
Okay, and how did they get to be in the flute ensemble?
Well, on Sunday when everyone came to camp, they all started their morning bright and early with auditioning for all of our faculty. And at the conclusion of those auditions, they were placed both in their large ensemble assignment, and for probably about 50 students, they were placed in chamber music opportunities this week. And so we have a large variety, but four were chosen to come here today.
So you all are very special indeed. let's hear what you brought. Let's remind listeners that we are hearing a number of students from the Illinois Summer Youth Music Camps, ISYM Camps at the University of Illinois. It's the first week of the camps. This is Live and Local, and I'm Kevin Kelly here on FM 90.9. What are you going to play for us together?
Well, we're going to play the Flute Quartet No. 1 by Gary Schocker. We're going to perform the second movement, Intermezzo, and the fifth movement, Dress Me for a Festival.
Have at it.
Thank you.
That sounded great. Now we were talking about intonation and so on, difficulty on piccolo, and you all blended beautifully. You had great rhythm. It was a wonderful unified sound, and particularly that passage where you really got going at a nice clip. It was really together. How much have you practiced the piece? How many hours?
Well, we had about an hour each day with Professor Keeble at the camp for our chamber music class. And then we played for probably about half an hour after class on Tuesday and Thursday.
So you've had some good time on it. Well, it's definitely paid off.
Yeah.
And our string quartet, or flute ensemble here, on flute and piccolo, Ted Anton, and Sarah Gagnon on the regular flute. Sarah Collins played the alto flute, and Violet Zerbe on the bass flute. Great job, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We're going to change setup now, so we'll hear a bit of noise probably in the background as we move the flutes out, and we'll bring our horn quartet in. We're listening to and talking with members of some of the chamber ensembles at the Illinois Summer Youth Music Camp at the University of Illinois this week. It's the senior camp this week. And here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. WILO's programs are made possible with support from the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, presenting A Midsummer Night's Dream, Richard III, The Tempest, and Scapin from June 25th through August 8th at the Ewing Manor in Bloomington. More information is online at thefestival.org or 309-438-8110. The ensembles are mostly coached by faculty members at the University of Illinois, and the horn ensemble, which is actually now in place in our studio, is coached by Kazimierz Machala, who is the longtime horn professor at the University of Illinois. How did I do with your name, by the way?
Excellent.
Thank you very much. You coached me once, so I hope that I learned reasonably well. And Kaz is he's retiring after this year, which is quite an event.
Very much so. Yes.
And what happens next? Come a little closer to my...
I'm going back to school, actually. After 20 years of teaching horn at UVI and performing 7 years with the Sydney Symphony Orchestra, principal horn in Australia, and some years at the University of Georgia, and I actually decided to pursue my old hobby, which is composition. So I'll be going back to Poland to study at the Krakow Academy of Music with some well-established composers with excellent craftsmanship and so on. There are two of them who actually studied with Nadia Boulanger in Paris at the Conservatoire. And we will see what will take place from then.
So you're off on an adventure, and in the meantime, you still have this opportunity to work with the students at the ISYM camp and help in their adventure this week. And what do you do with the horn players and with the ensembles during this week?
We do have coaching, section coaching for ensembles like in the orchestra. And with the horn quartet, we basically focus on basic elements of good ensemble playing, and this is really, really important aspect of bringing people from different backgrounds. We have one member actually from Iowa, and I think this is a wonderful opportunity for the students to acquire skills, and one of the most important aspects of playing an ensemble is adaptability and speed. So in other words, the students within very, very short period of time need to acquire knowledge and some degree of experience that is going to allow them to move forward and maintain retention at the same time.
maintain retention? What do you mean by that?
Meaning that if we discuss certain matters on Monday, I would like them to be able to apply on Tuesday, Wednesday, et cetera, et cetera, which is always very, sometimes is very challenging. Many students are actually accustomed to rehearsing in a band situation where they have probably 30 rehearsals and they play a concert. We don't have that luxury here, so lots of the things need to be digested very quickly and apply efficiently.
So we have four members of the horn class, can we call it that?
Horn quartet, yeah, class, yes.
Is this the one horn ensemble?
That's the only one horn ensemble. Okay. We do have other players who playing in a symphonic band and concert band.
But these were the ones specially selected? Is that how that goes?
That's true. They were selected based on their audition.
Good. So we have with us Katie Upton. Who's Katie here? You're the one from Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And Heather Boma Johnston. Did I say that right?
Yes,
I was coached on that earlier. And where are you from?
I'm from Gurnee, Illinois.
Okay, and the other two I know, one I know pretty well, Erica Allender. You're in Champaign.
Yes.
And Annie, I know a little bit, Annie McDonald. And you are?
From Champaign.
Also in Champaign. And I know Erica because she plays in the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, has for a while. And I will get to know Annie McDonald much better because she will be in the Central Illinois.
I just found out I got in. Well,
I know that's right.
Thank you for telling
right.
me on the radio. My spirit's a lot.
I knew she didn't know. And so now she'll play better even than she might have. And so what I'll ask the two that I know, either of you or both, if you can answer this. How is it different playing in an orchestra or band versus playing in a group just of all horns?
Wait for the strings. No, I'm kidding. It's very exciting. I think orchestral music has a lot more depth. Like, it's a lot more interesting for horns, and I think everyone did a really good job this week.
It's different working with a group of all the same instrument as opposed to, like, all different instruments, like all the brass and all the woodwinds.
Is it better, worse, or just different?
It's just different.
And what do you find differences between playing in band and orchestra? Let me ask this first. Do all four of you play in a band in your school?
Yes.
Okay. And who plays in an orchestra of some kind?
I do.
Apparently.
All four of you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And what do you find different about the experience, if anything?
I think it's...
Katie.
I think that playing in a band, it's a lot... I mean, like, with the thing about strings is that they can all blend to each other so well because, you know, they're all just, like, different sizes of the same instrument. And then, like, coming backwards in the ensemble for, like, there's a smaller group of winds in the orchestra. And making sure that, like, there's so much more independence in an orchestra for a wind player. You have to know your own part. In a band, you might have two or three people playing on the part with you where you're not alone, and you can have that sort of cushion. If you make a mistake... then you've got someone that can kind of, like, cover for you, that it's something that, like, helps as a backup, but then you also have to, like, blend to them more and that kind of stuff. But in an orchestra, you have to be very independently focused while listening outwards. It's like you have to be more efficient at being a player within an ensemble than in a band where you can be a player within a section within an ensemble.
So let's clarify and reassure any band directors who might be listening that they still have to prepare their part for band, as for orchestra. We didn't want anything to be implied there.
No, sorry about that.
Now, we can't have you talk about different horns because although you looks like you all have different brands of horn, or at least three, it's not like the four flutes that we had that you play so differently. So your challenge is to really sound like one instrument effectively. Is that fair to say, Professor Makala?
Yes.
What do you talk about regarding sound with horn players who do play different instruments that do on their own make different sounds, different tones?
Yes, they are. There are many fine players that may use different equipment and also have different skills, different personality, and so on. Yet, when you get ensemble together. Many of these things have to be, I would say, compromised. So in other words, we are aiming for the best possible blend. We're also looking for excellent balance and intonation. And we are successful at some points and are more successful than others. But the challenge really is to provide the emphasis so the students actually clearly can identify with their own playing and also the ability of listening to your colleague, because that's really what good ensemble playing is all about.
Well, let's find out how well you've done with all of these elements and bringing them all together. So this is the horn ensemble from the Illinois Summer Youth Music Camps. Who would like to introduce the piece?
I can.
That would be Katie.
Mm-hmm. We're going to play Barcarolle by Robert Dion for a horn quartet.
And let's see. So this is first, second, third, fourth horn. Katie, are you going 1, 2, 3, 4 from my left to right? So Katie's playing the first horn. I almost called you Sarah, sorry.
Oh.
Annie McDonald on second, and Heather Boma Johnston is third, and Eric Allender on the low part.
Yes.
On the fourth horn. That sounded great. You make me want to get my old horn out. This was my instrument, but alas, I have loaned it to a student rather than sell it, which I couldn't bring myself to do. They offered to buy it. I said, no, you may borrow it. Maybe one of these days I'll actually get it out again. That sounded great. I mean, you've clearly done what you needed to do. Congratulations, Professor, for the work that you did with them. Kosmakal is their coach, and these are the horn ensemble from the ISYM camps. Great job.
Thank you.
And
thanks
for taking time out of your obviously busy activities this week to come in, but I bet you didn't mind.
Not at all.
I didn't think so. Okay, so we will exchange four horns for four string players. Our string quartet is next up. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we're listening to a number of ensembles from the ISYM camps, which opened this week. It's the first of 3 weeks with different age groups and some different activities going on as well. Support for today's broadcast on FM 90.9 comes from the Music Shop and Pro Sound Center, now in their new location at 27 East Market View Drive in Market View Plaza, Champaign. The Music Shop specializes in the sales and rental of band and orchestra instruments, digital keyboards, guitars, amps, and drums, along with a wide variety of sheet music. And I'll take a few minutes here to give you our calendar of lots and lots of events going on over the weekend. We'll give you some highlights anyway. Lots of theater, as always, in the summertime. at the Celebration Company in the Station Theater in Urbana. They're presenting the musical version of what was a film, The Full Monty. Performances Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 8 o'clock. The Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan is presenting Singing in the Rain. That is tonight at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow at 4 and 8, and a matinee at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Tuesdays with Maury is one of three plays in rotation being performed by the Summer Studio Theater Company at the Krannert Center in Urbana. That is Friday night at, it's tonight at 7:30, also tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. And then on Sunday, the Summer Studio Theater production is The Mystery of Irma Vep. That is at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Midlife the Crisis musical is in Gibson City, performance by the ACT Theater Company at Perfection Coffee House. That's tonight at 6:30, tomorrow at 6:30, and the 1 o'clock matinee on Sunday. Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater is presenting Forever Plaid, which is a perennial favorite. That's in Goodfield, Illinois, performance and dinner. Starting at 6 o'clock Friday and Saturday, and then brunch time on Sunday. That is at noon on Sunday. Denise LaGrassa, singer-songwriter, is performing at Swinger's Grill in Normal tonight at 8 o'clock. That's at 1304 Cross Creek in Normal. At the Illinois Wesleyan University Cello Camp, their student recital is tonight at 7:30 in Westbrook Auditorium in Bloomington. And then on Sunday, it's the 15th Annual Midwest Cello Celebration, part of the Wesleyan Cello Camp student faculty recital, also at Westbrook Auditorium. That's Sunday at 1 o'clock. And also on Sunday, we have a West African drum class that actually happens every Sunday with Bolokada Konde, who's visiting professor at the University of Illinois at the Capera Academy, hoping I'm saying that right, on East Springfield Avenue in Champaign. That's at 4 o'clock every Sunday. So if you missed this one, you can catch some other one. The Danville Municipal Band is performing Sunday evening at 7:30 in Lincoln Park in Danville. And it's a cherry jam with the Prairie Dogs in Cherry Alley outside of the Urbana Free Library. That's Sunday at 2 o'clock, and so far the weather forecast suggests that should work out. And the Peoria Municipal Band is playing at Glen Oak Park in Peoria Sunday evening at 7:30. And the Decatur Municipal Band also playing Sunday evening. That is at 6 o'clock at Fairview Park in Danville. So those are lots of activities for you to participate in all weekend long. You can't say there's any shortage of music or theater in our listening area. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. You're listening to FM 90.9. And we're ready for our next ensemble from the Illinois Summer Youth Music Camps. Our string quartet is here, and also their coach, Rudolf Hocken, who is a viola professor at the University of Illinois. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hello.
Nice to have you. And tell us a little bit about what these folks have to go through in this week and what your work is like with them.
Well, one of the skills they acquire in a music camp like this, especially when it's as short as this one, 5 days of work basically, is to learn new music very quickly and acquire new skills very quickly. And it's pretty different from being in a regular school orchestra or a university orchestra where you spend many weeks working on repertoire and then working it up and performing it. For example, this quartet, on Monday, these players didn't know each other at all. They'd never seen the music I put in front of them, and I said, all right, play. And now they've learned the first movement of a Mozart quartet. And so just the skills necessary to learn things quickly and to adapt to musicians they normally don't play with, there are certain sets of skills there. For example, just this morning in our orchestra sectional, some of the students were worried about a few of the difficult passages in the Borodin.
And the Borodin what?
The Polovstian dances. And there were some very, very tricky passages. And so I taught them the art of faking. I said, all right, so first of all, you know, let's go through this passage and just play the first note of each beat. And now let's play the first two notes of each beat, and you know, maybe just leave off the last note, or half of you leave off the first note and half of you leave off the last note. And, you know, when you all play it together, it kind of sounds like you're all actually playing. And you can make it look like you're all playing. And, in fact, when we got done with it, it sounded like everybody was playing it cleanly and everybody was happy. And, of course, they're a little bit shocked that I would tell them that. But that's really what you do as a professional when you just have to sight read something or you have very little time to learn it. You initially just fake it, and then you go back and practice it, hopefully, if you have the time and you're not partying or something. You know, you go and practice it and prepare it for the performance. And this is very different from solo playing, where students, you know, where you can take all the time you want while you're playing and put in rubatos and so forth. In an orchestra, you have to obviously stay with the orchestra no matter what happens and always be on time. And the same thing goes for the quartet here. They have to learn this music very quickly, and there are just ways of, you know, quickly looking at the score, putting in cues, and just you know, getting a performance out of it on very short notice.
And of course, as an orchestra conductor, I'm shocked and appalled by what you're saying. Really.
Yeah, I know. And it's something I probably shouldn't have told you that, because I told my students never, ever tell a conductor what I'm about
and,
to tell
and
you.
Here you.
And here I am telling you this. But
just because I've got the microphone in front of me doesn't mean I'm only a radio host.
That's right, right.
No. Well, this
I don't have the baton.
It's yet, also something that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
And you have to, I mean, it's something that all instrumentalists have to do to some degree, because there's going to be passages sometimes you can't do everything, especially on short notice. Well, let's turn things over a little bit here to members of the string quartet, and you're going to have to identify yourselves as I read off your names, because I don't know who's doing what here. So, Martha Cunyas, did I say that right?
Yes.
You are the cellist. Adam Bissonette.
I'm here, viola.
Did I do okay with the name?
Yes, you did.
Jennifer Hill.
I'm first violin.
First violin, and David Sutton, therefore, must be the second violin, David in the hat. Which you can't see because this isn't television. And one of the horn players just before you was talking about some of the differences for a horn player playing in an orchestra versus a band, and she actually characterized strings as playing the same instrument but different sizes, which I thought was sort of an interesting and actually quite true characterization to a point, because if you were to make a digital photo of this, stick it on a computer and make it bigger or smaller, you could say this is a cello if it's big, and then you could make it small and say this is a violin, and who would know the difference? But of course they are very different sounds, and they are played very differently, and in the case of the cello, held differently, and the bass as well. I'm curious for all of you, I'll just sort of pick on a couple of people. Adam, what made you decide, of all of these similar but different sized instruments, to pick the viola?
Well, when I was in fourth grade, I wanted to play the violin, but I went to the special night where we got to try out the instruments, and I played the violin, and the E string was just, like, too high-pitched for me, and the viola was just one string lower, so I picked that.
That seems as good a reason as any, and I'm very sympathetic. High sounds. We were talking earlier to the piccolo player in the flute group, and they can sound wonderful, but when they get loud, it can be very painful. So you sort of had that experience with the violin, even at a young age, huh? But, of course, our violinists here, who are very skilled, I'm sure we will find out, will make that E string sing beautifully and not be piercing in any way whatsoever. Martha, I remember your name right, on the cello. Why the cello?
Well, I wanted to play an instrument, and my mom knew a good cello teacher, so I played the cello.
It's funny how these things work. I ended up playing the bass in sort of a similar way. And why the violin? Why not the cello? Either of you can answer, David or Jennifer, or Bob.
Well, when I went to try out different instruments, I tried them all, kind of, and it came down to really a sense of, like, what I really wanted to play. And For me, I just felt a different connection with the violin compared to the rest. Like, there was just something there that made me feel like, okay, this is what I want to play.
Did you have a chance to play a viola, for example, mm-hmm. before deciding?
Yes, I had a chance to play every instrument before I decided. But the violin was the last one I played, and that one, it was like instantly I picked it up, and I felt like this was the instrument I wanted to play.
And Jennifer, why not the bass?
Well, when I was little, I just saw my dad at home with his violins, and I just became interested in the violin, and also later the trumpet.
So do you also play the trumpet?
Yes.
And do you have a preference?
Violin, I mean, I don't play the trumpet as much anymore, so I'm mostly violinist now.
And your week is spent, obviously, with some chamber music time. And is it mostly in the orchestra?
Yes. I'd say mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly in orchestra. And what are you playing in the orchestra this week?
Right now we're playing the Borodine, like Mr. Hawkins said, the Pavlovskian dances. And we're also playing the Dance of the Comedians from an opera by Smetana. And then
In the Balance.
Yeah.
By Stephen Taylor. Who's a composition?
Perfect. Yeah, he's that's great. A new piece. How do you like that piece?
It's a lot different. I mean, it was composed in 2000 or so.
It takes some getting used to, but I think it's a pretty cool one to do.
And of course, we won't have a chance to hear that, so we don't really know so much what that sound is like. But you can go hear the orchestra concert. Why don't I ask Dave Allen very quickly, do you recall offhand what the concerts are this weekend? I'm putting you on the spot. You have nothing front of you.
I think, it's the goal of the summer here, so I kind of remember most of them. I think we're around 11:15 in the Great Hall at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, right in the center of campus. Free parking underneath, and it's free admission, so come join us.
And there's also the bands performing on Saturday?
Yeah, I think I can go through the lineup. Our senior chorus camp starts at 10 a.m. in the Great Hall. Then we switch over for full orchestra at 11:15. Then we have our symphonic band, senior band, at 12:30. And then we have our concert band following that at 1:15, I think, or 1:30. And then we have some smaller camps that are in other buildings on campus, like the piano camp is over in Smith Hall at 10 a.m. There's another Krannert one, musical theater camp. That's a great one that happens at 1 o'clock in the Playhouse Theater over in Krannert. And everything's on our website, too, as I stumble through these dates and times. Everything's on the ISYM website. You can just go to the School of Music website, that's www.music.uiuc.edu, and click on the ISYM tab right up at the top, and in our calendar section you can see all like 23 concerts that we have throughout the summer.
And it'll be a great opportunity for folks to see for free a whole bunch of very talented students. And we had better let these four talented students have at some Mozart. Is that what I heard you're going to be doing? What is this quartet?
It's the string quartet number 10, K590 by Mozart.
First movement?
Yes.
Are you planning to take the repeat?
No, we're just going right through it.
Good, because I'm just looking at our clock, and I want to make sure we can get our bassoon quartet in here. So this is the string quartet designated to play on this show from among other quartets from the ISYM camps at the University of Illinois on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's an eclectic ending. Didn't quite expect that. That was the first movement of the 10th string quartet of Mozart, played by one of the string quartets from the ISYM camps at the University of Illinois. We heard violinist Jennifer Hill, violinist David Sutton, violist Adam Bissonette, and cellist Martha Cunyas here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Their coach, Rudolf Hocken. And we're going to have to move you guys out real quickly to make sure that our bassoon quartet will actually get a chance to play, or they would be tremendously upset, and that would be a bad thing. We are listening to a number of ensembles from the ISYM camps. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll have our weather forecast, and in six, it'll be news headlines from NPR, and more classical music for you beginning at 1:06. Here on FM 90.9. On Monday's show, I believe, we're going to have a conversation with Mark Rubel, who runs Pogo Studios in downtown Champaign. They record an enormous amount and variety of music and ensembles who are also local to our area, our entire listening area. So that should be a fun conversation with Mark. He has a chance to experience lots of different kinds of music, some of which we've been hearing here on FM 90.9 on this show. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we're pleased now to welcome the bassoon ensemble from the Illinois Summer Youth Music Camps. Sarah Farbman, stick up your hand as we go just so I know who's who, and Christopher Hansen, and Cynthia Stacy, and Tyler Sauer. We're going to let you play right away because I don't have a whole lot of time left, and it would be tragic that you didn't get a chance to play after waiting all this time. So who's going to introduce your piece for us?
I will. We are going to play the movements of Waltz and Danzon by Upliano Duarte. From the piece Flor de Reseda.
Excellent. And you got chosen for your excellent pronunciation of the Italian. It was Italian, yes.
Yeah.
Something like that. Well, let's hear it.
Thank you.
Sounded great. And we just bought ourselves a little more time, so we're going to, for listeners who are looking for the newscast at a minute past 1 o'clock, we were going to be skipping that so that we can actually talk to you guys, because I would really like to do that. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And we just heard the bassoon quartet from the Illinois Summer Youth Music Camp. And there's a reason that I actually had you guys go last. And that is because I personally have become rather enamored of the sound of bassoon quartets.
Yeah.
We've got at least a few recordings of both the bassoon quartets and particularly one bassoon quintet here at the radio station that I'm rather fond of playing. And it's such a wonderful sound, I don't even know how to describe it. It sometimes can be a comic sound, which I imagine you all recognize.
We get that a lot.
I was going to ask somebody who said you get that a lot.
Sarah.
Yeah. And that's okay, Sarah Farman.
Yep.
How do you get that?
Well, you'll be sitting back there in band or orchestra, and the director will be like, "More oompas, bassoon. We need those downbeats. We need those upbeats. This is supposed to be a comedic piece. I need it to sound comedic. Bassoon."
I'm actually surprised you got it from the director. I just assumed you'd hear it from other students.
Yeah, that's pretty common as well.
They call us baboon sometimes. Yeah. It sounds like bassoon.
Uh-huh.
They're just jealous.
At my school.
Exactly, they are jealous, yes.
At my school, we had a professional musician come, and he wrote a piece for all the band, orchestra, and choir kids. And so he's on the piece of music. He spelled bassoon wrong. I played the basson instead of the bassoon when it came to the concert time.
Well, you know, much worse things could happen. I'd rather be a bassonist than a baboonist, probably.
That's true.
But it's also such a beautiful instrument. I have to tell you, too, that I asked Mr. Crum, who was my middle school band director, which they had a brand new bassoon sitting in the brand new middle school band room, if I could play it. And he said no. And I think ever since I have been crushed. So there might be a secret to why I've always been so fond of the bassoon. Do any of you play contrabassoon?
Most of us have played it once or twice, just usually like at ISYM itself. Mm-hmm. We get a chance to do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I played it at my school orchestra.
Yeah,
Is anybody here for the camp for the first time?
I am.
And you are again?
Cynthia.
Yeah. And so the rest of you returning for second time, third time?
This is my fifth year of ISYM.
And you're Christopher.
I am Christopher. And this is my first year coming here for senior band. I'm usually here for senior chorus. But last year I also went to double reed for
and
bassoon.
And do we have some of you playing in the orchestra?
Yeah. That's Tyler and I play in the orchestra.
Mm-hmm. And the other two in band.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's great. We've got it all covered here between the four of you. And I wish we had a little more time to chat, because I'd really like to know more about you and about your playing. But we'll have to say that if you come back another year.
Yeah.
And I want to say thanks to Joyce Griggs and Dave Allen of the Illinois Summer Youth Music Camp, and also particularly of the School of Music at the University of Illinois, which, of course, creates the ISYM camp. And this is your 60th year, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's a big number. Thank you for organizing this event. It's been great to hear all the players, and I hope a privilege for them to have the opportunity.
Definitely.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. It's a great opportunity for our students.
Well, it's a pleasure. I hope our listeners have enjoyed it, and apologies for those who had to have their news fix, but you don't get a bassoon fix very often, a bassoon quartet fix very often. And I'm sure it's much better news from you than whatever they were going to hear from NPR between 101 and 106. Julie Amacher is coming up in just a couple of minutes. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9, and I'll have a weather forecast for you in about 45 seconds.